Hey, greetings, everyone. This is Brother James, DontParish.com, John 4:24 Radio. I want to talk to you today about a common phrase that you'll hear in churchianity and you'll hear when people are trying to proclaim some type of truth of God or what they say is the gospel. The God-shaped hole in your heart. Have you heard this? The God-shaped hole in your heart. This phrase has been around for a long time. Like I said, it's in popular in churchianity, and the easy believe places are using it to its full extent to appease people, reach their flesh. Right up front in this audio, I want to proclaim that there's no verse in any Bible translation I know of. Well, there probably is in some corrupt versions, but in good Bible translation versions, there's no Bible verse that says, God fills a hole in your heart. This is just a concept. Usually, the early church father, they call them early church fathers, Augustine, and a man named Pascal are noted for using this concept. And then it caught on in evangelicalism, easy believism, churchianity in general, pleasing man, not preaching the biblical gospel. So having said that, I'm in no way saying that this idea has no basis whatsoever biblically. But I am saying that it's a dangerous, unbiblical way to approach the lost this way versus the biblical gospel. Let me explain it to you as we go here. Here are some verses that people use to say, see, hole in the heart theology. Let me read some. Ecclesiastes 3:11. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. So he meant, Solomon mentions the heart. They say, see, God's doing a work in your heart. How about John 7:37? And in the last day, that the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow living rivers of living water. So they say, see, God's doing a work in their heart. Matthew 12:43. And when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through the dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return unto my house from whence I came. And when he is come and find it empty, swept and garnished, then goeth, he taketh himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. Even so, it shall be also unto this wicked generation. So they're saying, see, if you don't have God, you leave yourself open. And that absolutely is true. We see that all over the world. How about Romans 5:5? And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. So we can see from some Bible verses that there is a minor basis for the concept that God's Spirit comes in and fills up our hearts and does a work in us. There's no denying that. Ever since the fall of mankind, we've needed that. We are not walking in covenant and communion. I should say not walking in communion with God the way Adam once did. And now we need to be in this covenant that God has ordained. So, of course, there needs to be a work done in us by God. But calling it God-shaped hole in your heart, there's a lot of really bad reasons to approach it this way. And I'm going to share with you. Again, as I said, look at the world today. The world needs a touch from God, the truth of God, the Spirit of God. Because whenever we don't have it, we open ourselves to darkness and sin and demonic ways, just like that verse that I just read to you. Now, just because it's true that man is lacking this communion with God as he once had, it doesn't mean the phrase is a good approach to the gospel to reach the lost. Actually, it's a very bad way to start out with reaching the lost that way. Why, you ask? Well, let me tell you, that's why I'm here. There's a real negative side to leaning into this man-centered theology. That should be a hint to you. Man-centered fleshly theology. Let's discuss it. I, myself, am very cautious to ever use this concept, preaching, street preaching, witnessing to the lost. Couple of reasons. Well, I got a bunch of reasons here. It usually makes people feel really good about themselves. Think about it. You mean my heart is got a void and God wants to make me happy and fill me up? People love that. They love themselves. Versus hearing your sin is going to damn you before a holy God, and God sent Jesus, your only way, to be beaten, bloodied, battered, bruised, and died for your sin, lest you repent and seek after him and lose your life and come out of the world. You will not gain eternal life, but have the wrath of God upon you, and he'll send you away into outer darkness. See the difference? God's going to fill a void in my heart versus preaching the biblical gospel. That's what I'm talking about. Has a different ring to it, doesn't it? What this also creates, too, another point, is it focuses them on themselves and man's heartfelt needs. It's a man-centered way of reaching people versus preaching about the fall of man, sin, Christ's perfect work, repentance. All right? That's what we've been called to preach, is the biblical gospel, not centered on fleshly man-pleasing and the hole in the heart, which isn't even in Scripture. What it does is it gets people focused on their heartfelt needs, a very dangerous thing. And then, most often I've seen, they never come to the truth. They go off on a rabbit trail. It's not wise, it's not biblical to get people focused on their heartfelt needs. Why? Man's heart is most wicked. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So we want to be very careful that we don't want to lead people into seeking after what's good for their heart, right? We don't want them focused on themselves, right? We want them focused on what? Christ, his finished work, and the gospel. The rest of that comes later when God does a work in their heart. It also leads people to be very looking to be pleased, looking to be fulfilled with a soft gospel, seeker-sensitive ways. This is a method they use to fill up buildings, and this is something that makes me very righteously angry. Jesus is not a self-improvement program. All right? This is what people often turn him into. He'll change your heart. He'll change your mind. He'll make your life better. He's going to make you happy. He'll fulfill you again versus repent and turn from your sins and lose your life to follow him. You see the difference? You fill up buildings that way, but you're not filling up the kingdom of God that way. And so it makes me righteously angry. Jesus is not a self-help program. He came to redeem a peculiar people for himself, not for people to be pleasing their fleshly ways themselves. If we lead with and tell people that they need this hole in their heart filled to be happy, you know what happens? They begin seeking the fulfillment in the wrong direction for all the wrong reasons. Then, this is why you see easy believe churchianity foolishness all over the place. You have to keep giving these people what their flesh and what their desires and their heart really wants to keep them. Yeah, don't train them on the biblical gospel. They're always going to be looking for what makes them feel good. Fun, frilly programs, feel-good stuff, music that soothes them, funny pastors that tell jokes, not the cutting, hard word and the truth, Hebrews 4:12, that they need to save their soul. It's a slippery, slippery, dangerous slope to go down using a hole in your heart as a gospel message. The other point is the main purpose of Christ's work was not to complete your heart and make you happy and give you needs, but was to die for your sins as the Lamb of God, giving you things in your heart and filling you up with living water and joy and peace. That's a secondary aspect of the gospel. You first need to repent and come to Christ to ever get that, don't you? Yeah. You have to come to understand the gospel, to be born again, to ever get the Spirit of God, to then be fulfilled in your heart with peace and joy, right? What they would call the hole being filled in your heart. You can't lead with that. You got to lead with the gospel, and then God will give them a new heart and a new mind when they place their faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, repent from the world, repent from the flesh, repent from churchianity and all false ways. God sees a willing vessel, gives you a new heart, new mind, gives you the Spirit. They would say that's filling the hole in your heart. And then you have the joy and the peace, and then you walk in holiness and obedience, enduring in the faith. It's fruit that you're born of Him, faith and works going together. You don't lead with, hey, you get to be real happy. You got to be willing to repent and surrender your life first. Amen? If you lead with the hole in the heart, it deceives people and leaves them short. This is a fact. I don't know anyone. I've never met a preacher, street preacher, teacher who leads with the hole in the heart gospel that ever goes on and preaches the full gospel. No, see, it's too easy to stay with the sugar-coated candy cotton stuff. God's going to make you happy. Jesus, the self-improvement program. Then you got to switch gears and say, well, yeah, now you got to repent and kill your flesh and lose your life and you're going to be hated. Yeah, see, they can't make that transition. So I've never seen anybody do it. Don't go down that road. It's a dangerous, dangerous rabbit trail. Most importantly, this is not how the gospel message was proclaimed in the New Testament saints or Jesus that we're supposed to model. They called men to repent, to turn to Christ. They weren't overemphasizing filling up the hole in your heart so you can be happy and feel all warm and fuzzy to woo them to God. No, go read Acts 2. They said, what should we do? Peter said, repent for the forgiveness of sins. Not, hey, come to God and He's going to make you a great life. You see what I'm saying here, folks? What this phrase does is it focuses something on something that's long past and can never be regained. Here's what it is. The chance for man to walk perfectly with God without an intercessor as Adam did. That is long over, gone. We can't have that. What we can have today, what God gave us, what He ordained, is we can preach Jesus, His shed blood, as I just preached the gospel to you, the new spiritual life via the gospel, and Him as our go-between, covering the bridge of sin that keeps us from God, as the only mediator between man and God. So we can no longer have what Adam had, but we can have unity, communion, covenant with God through Jesus Christ. That's what we need to be preaching. I never preached this in the streets, this hole in your heart. God's going to fill you up, make you all better. I may, and I have, when one-on-one discipling someone, tell them that God, if they'll come through repentance and lose their life, God will fill them up. And I give them my testimony how He's filled me up with great joy and peace and comfort. But I never lead with that, all right? I never lead with that. The lost public needs to hear that they are in sin and they're going to perish lest they repent and come after Christ because of His perfect work, obey Him and strive and endure to the end. Knowing about a void in their heart is not going to save them. It's actually something they will come to learn more about, as I said, and they'll experience the love of God and the fulfilling of God after they repent and seek Christ. It doesn't come first. That's leading with man. We want to lead with God's truth and Christ. Amen? We don't use it as a bait to lure people. Are they going to come with fleshly wrong motives? Let me give you an example. I use marriage all the time as this covenant with Christ and us. You don't tell a young man, hey, go get yourself a wife, because then you'll have happiness, because you'll have a good cook, you'll have sexual intimacy, and you'll have a person that'll clean your house. You would never tell somebody that. No. What do you teach a young man? That the idea of marriage is good and godly, to love another soul, to serve them with all that you are and love them the way Christ loved the church, to have unity, or the body of Christ, I don't like the word church, to have unity with another person, the way God ordained it between a man and a woman, companionship for life, filling each other's needs, and to raise a family together. That's the purpose of marriage, not getting your house clean, having sex, and having a good cook. No, those benefits all come in the marriage, right? The husband gets benefits, the wife gets benefits, but you don't get married just for those benefits, right? So as I fear many people get married for all the wrong reasons, I've seen it so many times, I fear, worst of all, many are coming to a fake Jesus for the wrong reasons, like this hole in the heart theology. You got to remember, pastors' goals, most of them, are to fill up buildings, grow their programs. So the whole in the heart theology really plays well for them in this hurting world. Everyone's hurting, lost, feeling incomplete. Hey, self-improvement Jesus is going to make you feel better. They love that. Pastors aren't going to tell people the truth, that God is angry with the wicked. It says, God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Psalm 7:11. That doesn't fill up buildings. Come and have your heart filled up with joy and peace and have a good life now. That really fills up buildings. Having a hole in your heart fixed sounds a lot better than losing your life, killing your flesh, be hated by the world, and be ready to die for your Savior, doesn't it? Yeah, one plays to the spirit, the other one plays to the flesh. So again, churchianity has turned my Jesus into a get well, get right, get happy, get fulfillment Savior. It's very sad. It's very heretical. What we are called to do is called to preach repentance to Him. Die to yourself. Lose this life. We're called to be servants, not worried about self-improvement in our own hearts and lives. Matthew 20:27. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus came to serve. We're supposed to serve, not be looking to have our life filled up first and foremost. So the verdict on this hole in your heart theology is really threefold. Number one, it's made up by men. It's not really in the Bible as they describe it. Two, it does have a minor basis with some scriptural truth. That if you come to Christ via the gospel, God's going to change your heart and he's going to give you joy and peace. Yeah, we get that, but they've got it flipped around and they've got it twisted. And third, it's an unbiblical, incomplete way to warn the lost about their sin and the wrath of God that's coming to get them and to destroy them in flaming fire. 2 Thessalonians 1:8, 9, and 10. No. We are called to preach the full gospel I preach to you. Call men to look unto Christ to repent. Turn from their sin. Ask God for a new heart and a new mind. Strive in obedience. In Acts 5, it says, God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey Him. So begin to obey the scriptures. And over time, it's a process. God changes your heart. God fills your heart up. God gives you peace. God gives you joy. He gives you love. He gives you contentment. Right? But that doesn't come before you're willing to enter this covenant, this blood covenant. He died for you. What will you do for this Savior? So don't let these man-made false ways stumble you, folks. If you test all things, we will never be caught up in the philosophies of man, Colossians 2:8, or in churchianity, all of their heresy to fill up buildings and be popular, or our flesh, which always wants its own way. But it's not the way of God. To walk in the flesh leads to death. Romans 8 tells us to walk in the Spirit leads to life. Galatians 5 says, crucify the flesh. Yeah, that's what we got to do. Be a Berean. Test all things. And let me know how I can help you in the faith. Hey, thanks for listening. Go to don'tperish.com. Go to the teaching blog. All kinds of articles, audios, videos, sisters, blogs to edify you, to warn you about man-made religion, to preach the biblical gospel to you, to teach you how to be a holy biblical New Testament saint, and to have you walking ready looking for this glorious Savior. And yeah, when your heart's all for God, James says, draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. You will end up with joy and peace and a complete, healed, contented, overflowing heart. But we don't lead with that. Those are all just things that come once you repent and know the Savior. I hope that helps you. Don't be stumbled by this false theology. Shoot me an email. Let me know. I can encourage you in the faith. Hey, till next time, hopefully God lets me come again to bring you truth. I love to teach the Word of God to those who love the Word of God. We love you all. May God be praised.